This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. All right, there is a lot to get into in today's show. We'll get you guys a random lineup here coming up in just a bit. I always enjoy when we go through the random lineups, but let's talk about the Royals in a much more serious way. All right. When I came into work today, Rob had some stats for me, and I'm happy to read those stats to you. The first stat is something that you guys talk about pretty frequently on the text line. Now, you guys love to point out the fact that the Royals don't beat a lot of good teams. Now, I agree with you. I mean, the numbers I'm about to give you, that's what they suggest. I also wonder how much that matters if the Royals are competitive and we think they can make the postseason. And I think for the most part, I think a majority of Royals fans are on the same page about this team. Now, yes, there are some people who are overly pessimistic. Yes, there are some people who are overly optimistic about the Royals. But I would say the majority, your average Royals fan, we have all reached a very understandable and reasonable points. The Royals are good, not great. The Royals should win 85, 86 games. They should be a playoff team. And if the Royals make one or two moves, then they got a chance to make some noise in the postseason. But they haven't made those moves yet. Let's see how things play themselves out. I believe a majority of Royals fans are in that same ballpark. Now, let me give you the raw numbers about the Royals against a good team. So, Rob looked this up. I want to make sure Rob gets credit for this. This was not a wee effort. Rob did this on his own. This season, when the Royals play a team who is 500 or better, they are 13-19 on the season with a minus 35 run differential. Now, to point out, and to be fair, the Twins are also under 500 with a negative run differential in this same scenario. The Guardians are also 500 with a negative run differential. Now, the Tigers are really good. They are 17-11 with a plus 32 run differential when they play the better teams in baseball. This comes to the conclusion that I think the standings tell you at. Man, the Tigers are really, really good. And it's going to be really, really difficult to catch that Tigers team. The Royals are probably going to need to make some improvements, and they're going to need the Tigers to come back to the pack if they're going to be able to catch them. The Tigers look like a team that could win 90 or 95 games. Now, I'm here to be optimistic about the Royals. I'm not 95 wins optimistic about them, but that is why there is wild card. That is why you can still make the postseason even if you don't win your division. So if you were wondering what the Royals' record is against the good teams, they are 13-19 so far in their first 50 games of the year with a minus 35 run differential. Now, why does that matter? I'm not sure if it really matters in this context. This is why. We looked this up together. Now, I'm going to take some credit now because I was a part of this. So we looked this up. Last year, there were 12 teams that were at 500 or better after the 50-game mark. 9 of those teams made the postseason last year. And the average win total for those teams was 89 wins last year. Fast forward to, or I guess rewind, to the year before, 2013. 12 teams were at or above 500 at the 50-game mark. 8 of those teams made the postseason. You add it all up, and I did the math for you. 17 of the last 24 teams who have been at or above 500 at the 50-game mark made the postseason, and the average win total is 89 games. I am here to tell you that the Royals are good. We are having the conversations about what they need to potentially do to be great. And how do you cut through the noise, so to speak? And how do you separate yourself from the handful of teams that are going to be in contention in the American League? But I do think that the Royals have this off day today that we can breathe and celebrate a very, very simple fact. In a lot of ways, the Royals did it. You remember 2 years ago, football or baseball season was over at this point. You remember the NFL draft had just left. The Royals were completely out of it. They were never over 500 at any point 2 years ago, and we were wasting our time talking about them to the point where my own boss told me, if you don't have anything positive to say about the Royals, just don't talk about them. We were having shows centered around the fact that we did not talk about the Royals. Fast forward now 18 months, 24 months later, they were over 500 last year, made the postseason, won a postseason series. Fast forward to this year, they are once again over 500 and once again on pace to make the postseason. So the Royals have done it. They have turned their franchise around in a very, very short period of time. There also is room and hope for optimism about the future. Their number one prospect, Jack Caglione, will be here at some point in the next 90 days. I can't tell you exactly when he'll come up in the next 90 days, but I feel very, very confident that at some point before Labor Day, you will see Jack Caglione up here in the big league club playing for the Kansas City Royals. So you were talking about a prospect who they have been very, very excited about in private. Here's J.J. Piccolo.
Yeah, well, to be honest, like, nothing changed. He just continued to dominate Double-A baseball. You know, it was really good to see. He's, you know, we all know he hits the ball extremely hard, and that's his, you know, superpower. But we started to see some improvement in some of the decisions he was making on what pitches to hit and what pitches to lay off. And quite honestly, the level just wasn't good enough for him the way he was playing over an extended period of time. So we thought it was time for him to take the next step. You know, Triple-A, the pitching's better. Pitchers can game plan, but more importantly, follow a game plan better than Double-A pitchers because they're older, smarter, more experience, and that's the right next step in his journey to the big leagues.
When you guys drafted him last summer, I mean, if I would have told you then, like, the ideal quote-unquote timeline even just to get to Triple-A, like, is this kind of best-case scenario for him to get up to Triple-A this quickly?
Absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, over however many years I've done this, I don't know how many players that we've had in their first full season that go to Double-A and just really dominate the league and now are in Triple-A. Obviously, Brandon Finnegan back in 2014 was a different situation. He was a pitcher, and we brought him right to the big leagues pretty much after a stop in Double-A. But, you know, this is the first that I can recall, and just happy that he's doing what he's doing. I mean, a lot of credit goes to our scouting department in identifying Jack with the 6th pick last year and have a lot of confidence in moving forward and selecting him. And Jack has exceeded expectations. You know, we knew he was good. But until he gets out there and plays, you don't know how good he really is or how long it's going to take for him to get to AAA. But certainly he's on a fast track, clearly.
I know even in the front office, as you're getting a little bit of the comparison game, like our morning show host mentioned, Adam Dunn. What, for you guys, who do you kind of envision Jack Caglione, who does he remind you of in the big league level? Is there anybody that he kind of comps to?
Yeah, I mean, Adam Dunn, I can see because of the power, but Jack is going to be a more complete hitter than Adam. Adam struck out a lot. I mean, very good major league player. I think Jack is going to be able to control the zone better than that. You know, honestly, like what we hope he develops into, and I'm not saying this is who he is, this is what we would like to see is some version of a Pete Alonso. I mean, that's you know, left-handed version of Pete Alonso. Pete makes a lot of good plate decision or pitch decisions. He's got massive power. You know, he's turned himself into a pretty good defender at first base. I mean, and coincidentally, those two went to the same high school, you know, so it's kind of weird. You know, that would be excellent for us, you know, and really, you know, the thing we don't want Jack to do is to try to be anybody but himself. I know that the comp game, we do it in the scouting world all the time, and it's just part of it. But Jack needs to be himself, you know, whatever version that of Jack that it allows him to be the best major league player he can be. That's what we'd be happy with that.
I really want to take this break here as the Royals have played 51 games to just let's evaluate where the Royals are. I do think we have seen enough Royals baseball to have a good understanding of what the Royals are and what they're not. Their offense needs a little bit of help, but no help is coming on May 22nd for the Royals. So they're going to have to ride this stretch out. They're having some injuries in the rotation, but I think their rotation is still set up pretty well. I mean, Michael Lorenzen, Chris Bubich, Noah Cameron, who has been fantastic so far in his early starts. There is enough pitching for them to get by with Reagans and Lugo battling some injuries a little bit. And I would say in a lot of ways, the Royals are still ahead of schedule. Now, let's see what they do with the deadline. Let's see if they can get Salvi going. Let's see what happens with Vinny Pasquantino for the next 50 games. But I know a lot of times we have the conversations in baseball, get us to Memorial Day. All right, well, we're almost there. That's coming up on Monday. It's like we're not that far away from a three-day weekend. And the Royals are over 500. They just won a series. They come back home on Monday for a series that I imagine will do pretty well, especially on Monday. I mean, Monday they have Memorial Day here at home against the Reds. Tuesday is Dollar Dog Night. And then next weekend they have maybe the best team in the American League coming to town. So I think this is a really appropriate time to just take a breath, take an inventory of where the Royals are, and to give you guys the numbers. If you are over 500 at the 50-game mark, only one of the 24 teams over the last two seasons have finished below 500. On average, you went around 89 games or so. History, at least recent history, a sample size, tells you that the Royals are going to be right there. They'll have a chance to make the postseason. And now the question is, can they get healthy? Can they add to the offense to really give themselves a chance once they get to October? I do want to ask you guys this question, 913-586-7965. Rob, I'll start with you asking you the question. Do you think yesterday was the turning point for Salvador Perez? That if Salvi's going to get hot and go on a 10-day, 20-day stretch, I mean, wouldn't it kind of be like the game that he had yesterday? I mean, Salvi was fantastic. He had three hits yesterday. He hit a home run. I mean, that's the Salvi you're going to need if you're going to get hot and go on a little bit of a run. Do you think that yesterday was potentially that lightning rod, that spark for Salvi, that he can go on a little bit of a run the next 2-3 weeks or so?
I really hope so, because, and as Vern pointed this out with us on Tuesday, the underlying numbers and like the nerd core expected batting average, those sorts of numbers have been really good for Salvi, but the accounting stats have been bad. So I hope a game like yesterday makes me eat my words that he's tiptoeing to done and the underlying numbers, the actual numbers. We kind of saw with Vinny Pasquantino in April, his real numbers looked bad, but everyone's saying, hey, the underlying, hey, nerdcore, deep cut, you look at these stats, there's something there. Vinny has started to turn the corner. He's hitting like 228, 230 now, which considering he was at one point in the 140, 150 range is a noticeable upgrade. I'm hoping Salvador Perez is about to go through a similar renaissance, for a lack of a better term, where it is, hey, those underlying numbers were real, and look, now the real numbers are the real numbers. I'm not going to bet on it yet, because one day does not a season make, but if he has a good series against the Twins and he comes back home and you start to notice the heat up, then yes, it could be. But for now, I'm going to err on the side of skepticism, but I'd love to see that actually happening for this Royals offense.
We got a lot to get into in this 5 o'clock hour. We'll talk some football here coming up in just a bit. There's going to be some changes to the college football playoff. The Tush Push has been approved at least for one more season in the National Football League. We'll get to all that coming up in just a bit. But before we get to the hits, you guys know what we got to do. Rob, take it away.
We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals. If you want to be.
Carrington, to remind Royals fans that times aren't that bad. I'm going back to what is widely revered as the worst start in Royals baseball history. The 1992 Kansas City Royals were on this date in 92. That team got walloped by the Texas Rangers, falling to 14-26 to start the season. Here was the lineup for your 1992 Kansas City Royals.
Oh boy, this is going to be a journey.
Leading off in center field, Gary Thurman.
Gary Thurman. Have you ever heard of that man before?
Not a clue who that is.
Can I tell you something? I actually haven't told anybody this. Because we do the random lineups, I went on eBay and I was looking for like throwback vintage Royals jerseys just to see what was on there. They had a Doug Minkiewicz jersey in my size for $32. I really considered getting it.
Best $32 you'll ever spend.
Yeah, I just didn't. If it was like a Mike Aviles or somebody, I think I'm going to walk around here with a Doug Minkiewicz jersey. Like, come on now. I can't do that.
Let people know you're a real one.
Doug Minkiewicz? No.
Batting second.
He ain't even real Royals.
Batting second, in right field, Chris Gwynn. Batting third, at third base, Greg Jeffries.
Yo, who are these guys? I've never heard of any of these people. Batting, where was George at this day? Was George playing?
Batting fourth, and at first base, George Brett.
I was wondering. Think about all the celebrations we've had around George Brett. George Brett has never talked to any of these individuals. He has not been in a room with Gary Thurman in 30 years.
By the way, George Brett was batting 243 on this date in 1992. That George could be one cooked. Of the problems.
George was cooked.
Batting fifth in left field, Kevin McReynolds. Batting sixth, the designated hitter, Jim Eisenreich.
Okay, I've heard of him before.
I've
That's
heard
the
of
first
him.
Guy I've heard of before.
Batting seventh, behind the plate, Mike McFarland.
Okay, all right. We're starting to get to the names now.
Batting eighth, the shortstop, Kurt Wilkerson.
All right, now we're getting lost here.
And batting ninth.
Listen, I'm telling you, I know what happened one day. I'm going to tell you what happened with George Brett. George Brett looked up one day and he was like, man, I used to play with Willie Wilson and Frank White and Amos Otis. And now I play with Greg Jeffries and Gary Thurman. I'm not doing this anymore. That's what happened. George one day looked up and saw his teammates and was like, I don't want to be around these guys anymore. It's time for me to go home.
And batting ninth, the second baseman, Terry Shumpert.
I mean, exactly. He used to have Frank White as his second baseman. Now he has Terry Shumpert, Amon's pops. He couldn't do it anymore.
By the way, the Royals lost on this date 10-7 to the Rangers because Mark Gubazaw gave up 7 in 4 2/3. And a fun twist of fate, the Royals lost due to a great pitching performance by the Rangers, Bobby Witt. Bobby Witt.
Bobby Witt Sr.?
Bobby Witt Sr. went
Big
8
Bobby
innings.
Bobby Witt Sr., yeah.
Bobby Witt Sr. went 8 innings, only giving up 2 runs.
Okay, I just was wondering. I was curious to know, man. I was very, very curious to know. Someone on the text line says that you did a random name generator, which I'm going to be real with you. You could have made up a majority of those names. You could have. You really could have made a lot of those up, and I would have been like, yeah, that makes sense. Text line is telling me that Greg Jeffries, he was a hot prospect for the Mets back in 88. He's a hot prospect for the Mets. Well, it didn't.
By the way, let's just looked at as the worst start in Royals history, 1992 was, because A, the talent, and B, they started 4-19. Mm. Like, you're right. 2 years ago, we were doing shows anything but the Royals. They were better than 4-19 at the jump.
No,
that's,
for sure.
That's Rockies bad.
Well, that's not good. That was the beginning of the end. That was the beginning of the end.
I think it may have been past the beginning.
I'm telling you what happened. George one day looked up and was like, bro, I'm not playing with these guys anymore. Please get me off of this team.
Do you think people on radio that year were like, hey, strike. Just strike. why don't we just all have a strike?
Don Fortune was going crazy during that time. I'm telling you, he was going nuts. back during those days. One more Royals thing I actually want to play for you guys. So earlier you heard J.J. Piccolo, and he said that they think that Cags could be a left-handed Pete Alonso. Jim Callis was on Cody and Gold earlier. He had a different comparison for Jack Caglione.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could put him up there with just about anybody in the big leagues. I mean, I'm not trying to say we're not putting him in the Hall of Fame, but I mean, he's like a slightly bigger version to me. I don't think he's as polished a hitter, but if we're just talking the power, he's like a slightly bigger version of Shohei. And I know I was the one I kind of.
He also pitched, you know, so great.
he did, and it's funny. Like, I didn't like the Keg. I don't think anybody should be compared to Shohei as a two-way guy. And, like, right. I think the Royals also did what was smart. You know, I remember arguing with it with Greg Amsinger good-naturedly at the MLB Network desk during the draft last year. I would not have had him pitch as a pro either. I mean, it's interesting and intriguing, but his ceiling's so high. I want him devoting 100% of his time to being the best offensive player he could be, because that could be a 40-plus home run guy. But, like, I don't know, just the size and his ability to hammer pitches all over the place, out of the park, even if he doesn't square it up, it kind of reminds me of Shohei, to be honest.
Now, I know you guys are about to start getting on me. Oh, you hating Shohei? He's a slightly bigger Shohei? I mean, this is just, I mean, come on now. We got to calm down a little bit. We got to relax just a little bit. Pump the brakes. Whatever euphemism you want to throw out there, a slightly bigger Shohei. Shohei might be the best baseball player we've ever seen. He's definitely on the short list. Let's calm down a little bit. I'm not here to throw water on anybody's fire. I'm not here to rain on anybody's parade. I'm excited about Jack Caglione. You should be excited about Jack Caglione. When he makes his major league debut, we will be out there. I'm fired up. I'm thrilled. I think he's coming up this year. I think he'll be up at some point in late July, early August. I'm thrilled. Slightly bigger Shohei. It seems like, come on now. Let's calm down a little bit. We're doing a lot now.
So
left-handed Pete Alonso. I actually can live with left-handed Pete Alonso. That's fair. A slightly bigger Shohei is we're doing a lot.
Should we get a bust ready in Cooperstown now, or do you think we should wait?
See, I'm ready to move on. I don't even want to talk about it anymore. I don't want to talk about it anymore. A slightly bigger Shohei Ohtani, he said. What's your comparison for Jack Caglione? Do you have one?
I mean, the fact that
you know
a person who covers prospects professionally is saying he's Shohei Ohtani but bigger. He's Barry Bonds. I mean, why not? Let's just, if he's not at least Barry, let's call him a bust. I can confidently say, I don't know I have a comparison for him, but if people are saying Pete Alonso and they're saying Shohei Ohtani, I'm excited, but I was around in Kansas City when they said Calvin Pickering was next up. So let's just settle down.
I mean, I will say this, and I'll push back a little bit. Let me defend it a little bit. This is the fun part of having the prospect. Rob, we were laughing and joking a little bit about Darren Peterson. Bill Self said that he is the best player he's ever recruited. You know how wild of a statement that is for Bill Self to say? Think about Bill Self. Think about all the great players that KU has recruited. He said that this point guard is the best one that he has ever had. Rob, you and I were talking. You think he could be Shai Gilgeous-Alexander? He just won NBA MVP. So I'm saying is this is what we all do when you have this. You have the ultimate mystery box is what you have. That's what he is. Jack Caglione can be in your mind whatever you want him to be. If you think that he could be a better version of Pete Alonso, that's what he can be. If you think he can be Evan Longoria, he can be that in your mind. That's the beauty of potential. That's the beauty of optimism. There was a moment when you saw Patrick Mahomes, you allowed yourself to dream big. Some of you went out there at St. Joe's. Some of you studied the film. You were thinking, hey, if this guy works out, I think he can be Aaron Rodgers. You were right. Somebody told you you were crazy when you said that about Patrick Mahomes. Someone laughed at you when you said that. I'll never forget. We had Bill Moss on the show. Bill Moss was on the show, and he said, I think Patrick Mahomes is a better version of John Elway. And I chuckled at it. He was right. 100% right. All I'm saying is, at this point, this is the fun part. This is where you will let your imagination run wild with what he can potentially be. Somebody saying he's Jim Thome. If he turns out to be Jim Thome, great. If you were telling me right now that you can press the button and Jack Caglione turns out to be Jim Thome, what he was with the Cleveland baseball team back in the day, absolutely sign yourself up for that. You sign yourself up for it. I mean, Jim Thome played until he was 41 years old. Played until he was 41. He played 13 seasons with Cleveland. He averaged 28 home runs, 77 RBIs, and hit .287 with a .414 on base percentage. So if you're telling me you think he can be Jim Thome, great. You know what that means? They got Jim Thome and Bobby Witt Jr. in their lineup and Vinny Pasquantino, and they go out there and make a couple of moves or two. This is where you allow yourself to dream big on what you can potentially have. He can be that. Coming up on the other side, they are changing the college football playoffs. We'll talk about it. Keep right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited to be here with you guys on this wonderful, wonderful Thursday. We have an off day with the Royals. You know what that means? Today will be a great day to watch the NBA playoffs. I mean, we've had a couple of great nights of the NBA playoffs. We had one of the best comebacks in recent playoff history yesterday. And today we got game two between the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Minnesota Timberwolves. So I would encourage you guys to check out the NBA coming up later today. All right, let's talk about some of the changes that are coming to college football. So they are going to change the rule this way. Last year, they did the seeding kind of funky, if you want my opinion. They're not doing it that way. This year, they are going to do it, we're going to put the 12 teams in the playoff, and then we will decide what their seeding is, and they'll just be seeded from there. So if they had done this last year, Texas and Penn State both would have received first-round byes. If you remember, Boise State didn't have a bye last year. Boise State was the 3 seed. They would have been the 9 seed under the new rule. Arizona State, that was the 4 seed last year, they would have been the 11th seed in this past college football playoff. This is actually the last year of the 12-team playoff. They are debating expanding to 14 or 16 teams. So obviously, we will get some confirmation on that. So this is what the playoff would have been last year in the first round. The 8 seed Indiana would have played Boise State. The winner would have played Oregon. Notre Dame would have played Clemson in the first round. The winner would have played Penn State. Ohio State would have played Arizona. The winner would have played Texas. SMU would have played Tennessee. The winner would have gone on to play Georgia in the second round of the college football playoff. Rob, I love this change. Now, we were debating this earlier on the show, and I think people made some very fair points. Carrington, why do you think the NFL should determine its playoff system one way and not college football? I think there are some clear, noticeable differences. Number one, in the NFL, all 32 teams operate by the exact same rules and have the exact same advantages and disadvantages. It's a hard salary cap. Every team in the NFL spends the exact same amount on players. That's not how it is in college football. Oregon spends more money on their football program than KU does. We know that. So Oregon is playing a different game with more resources, with more things than KU. That's not how the NFL works. Everybody's schedule in the NFL is pretty uniform. Now, you obviously don't all play the same teams, but you play these teams in your division, you play this AFC conference, you play this NFC conference. We have a formula to determine the other games. Every team in the NFL plays the exact same formula, and then from that, we determine the 7 teams that are going to make the postseason. That's not how college football works. How you determine your schedule in the Big 12 is different than how it is in the SEC. Who you schedule in the non-con is very different. If there's going to be some uniformity to how we determine what your schedule is going to be, I'm happy to rediscuss this matter with more information. But that's not what we currently have. So in some ways, you got to play the schedule game. You got to play the eye test. There's really no other way to evaluate who's good and who's not good. We got to play the who you beat in college football game. I mean, we kind of play that in the NFL, but ultimately it doesn't really matter because everybody's got to play everybody at some point. You can't really run from competition for too long in the National Football League. I think this is the right way to do it. Last year, if I was Oregon, I would have been very disappointed about the way that the schedule was put together. You're telling me for Oregon, who was the best team in college football last year, their reward was to play Ohio State at a neutral site? Wait, what? Ohio State, I thought, was the second best team in the playoff, but then they got seeded as the 8 seed and you had to play them in the second round? Well, that's not very fair. Boise State was not one of the 4 best teams in college football last year, yet we were treating them like they were. Arizona State got the 4 seed last year? No. This is a much better system and, to me, lines up better with what I thought the information we had presented throughout the course of the season. So I think this is a noteworthy fix. Yes, we're going to find some flaws and some holes in it. That's kind of how college football works. But for the most part, I actually think that this would have worked last year. Indiana certainly deserved to be in the playoffs based on the metrics that they have. They were about an 8 or a 9 seed. Yeah, they would have played that. And then, you know what? If they had beat Boise State, they then would have played a good team from their own conference that they didn't play throughout the course of the regular season. I think that's the way that the playoffs should have broken down last year. So I'm actually very much in favor of this change. I understand why last year they tried to do it one way. It didn't work the way they thought it was going to work. Now we make an adjustment. We move from that and we try a different system. I like this change in college football.
I am mostly in lockstep with you, but I think, and maybe this makes me a pessimist, we have to point out the flaws because I think they have a potential to be glaring. One, we are now in a system where it is, if you win your conference, you're in the playoff, but a non-conference champion can be a top four. That's problematic to me. We don't even use next year, last year as an example. Let's use next year. Texas Tech is by no means a name brand. Texas Tech is one of the teams that people expect to win the Big 12 in football next year. They got very busy in the portal. They got very busy in NIL. They are expected to win the Big 12 next season. Let's say they do. They are going to likely get punished by not having name brand cachet despite being a conference champion, where a Bama or a Georgia or a Florida or a Tennessee, which are all more no-name commodities, have a much higher chance of making the top four despite not being an SEC champion. I don't like that. Let's go back to last year. Penn State lost the Big Ten title game. You telling me they could have been still a top four seed despite not winning their conference? I do not like that. I think your point about the NFL is 100% fair. There's uniformity in rules over there. But I think it's people like me that want college football to, in the way we govern it and the way we handle it with postseason, look more like the NFL. And yes, that will take a lot more changes than just tweaks the college football playoff. But I think it's fair to say, hold on, the implicit bias of a committee that could benefit one team over the other is unfair. We need more rules to protect against those things.
If that is going to be the case, which I don't disagree with you, I am all for then. There needs to be more uniformity, and the Big Ten and the SEC need to then give up some power. There's no division in the NFL that has more cachet than the other one, that's stronger than the other one. We treat all eight divisions equally. That's never how college football has wanted to be governed. College football has never wanted to put all of the teams on the same playing field. If you're telling me that's what they're into, great. You know I'm all for uniformity. If we're really going to do this thing and treat college football like NFL Junior, then let's make it like NFL Junior. Why does the SEC not have its own playoff? I mean, that's a system, right? Hey, we're going to create four conferences. Here's four teams. Here's four teams. The same way we do in the AFC. The AFC has a structure. All the teams in the AFC West play each other two times. You then play another conference in the AFC. Let's have that uniformity. Then the AFC, at the end of that, they have their own playoff that feeds into the Super Bowl. Some of what you're talking about simply comes with having uniformity in the sport that we just don't have in college football. I mean, we kind of have that in college basketball. Every conference has its own tournament. If you win that tournament, you automatically go to the big tournament, and we just let more teams into the football, or excuse me, to the basketball playoff. So when you got 68 spots the way that you do, yes, some teams missed the postseason, but I'm not really crying any spilt milk over the 11 seed that didn't make the tournament. No, I'm more worried about the teams that I actually think can make a little bit of noise in this thing. So I'm with you. It is not a perfect system. I don't know if college football can ever really be perfect, because I don't think the people that run it want it to be perfect. If you want a system that heavily incentivizes two entities over the other ones, then you're always going to have disagreements. You're always going to have the debates that we currently have in college football. And I kind of think they like it is because during the NFL season, we spend a lot of time arguing about college football, and that obviously drives a lot of attention. Coming up on the other side, coming on the other side, we'll talk some NBA. Keep it right here. So Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
On 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Rob, I'm going to ask you this, and this isn't even me throwing a shot. I just really want to know the answer. I want to know the answer to the question. What's that one loss that really had you questioning things? Because if you're a Knicks fan, I mean, I had kind of given up on the game. So this is a real story about what happened. I'm sitting there, me and my cousin, we're watching the game. You guys know my cousin's into wrestling. I don't know how we got on talking about it, but we had the basketball game on, and then I turned on a random wrestling match. I think we watched like Bret Hart against like Razor Ramon or something. It was like really very random. So I was like on the phone talking to him. We're watching this wrestling thing. The game is still on, but you know, I'm not really paying attention. I mean, the Pacers they get blown out in that scenario 99 times. He then says to me, like, hey, the game's getting close. I look up at the TV. It's a 5-point game with like 30 seconds to go. And I'm like, interesting. So I start watching it. And then, you know, then I'm like, oh, okay, all right. You know, I know how this is. You know, you knock down a couple of free throws. We know how into basketball games work. Carl Anthony Towns misses those free throws. And I'm like, oh my goodness, is this going to happen? Are they really going to lose? And then, I mean, Tyrese Halliburton, he kind of did what Tyrese Halliburton has done basically this entire season, which is hit big clutch shots. And he finished the job off in overtime. I mean, the Pacers, they really stole game one of this series. They stole it. Rob, what's the loss for you that just it left you with that feeling, just demoralized? What's
Northern
that
Iowa. One? Northern Iowa. That Kansas team was stacked, man. And the bracket had started to open up. It felt like you're going to St. Louis, the number one overall seed. The end of the story is they lost to the 9 seed UNI, but that Kansas team was really good. They were dominating people in the Big 12 that year. Thomas Robinson was like the 9th man off the bench. It just felt like this team is too talented to, you know, they can throw waves at you. And then in the second round, a mid-major knocked Kansas out. Just gut-wrenching loss.
There was this Missouri loss a couple of years ago. I mean, they've obviously had bigger losses than this, but it was just really how they lost. Remember that game against Auburn that they had? Remember where Harrison Meavis missed like a 21-yard field goal? You just make this field goal, you win the game. They then go to overtime. Then remember Nathaniel Pete, he fumbled the ball as he was trying to extend it. I mean, it was one of them things that just like, everything that could possibly go wrong for Missouri in the final 5 minutes of the game happened, and it really broke me. Those losses stay with you. They stay with you way more than the wins do. They really do. They really, really stay with you. Well, I don't know what you guys have planned today. Maybe you got some time with the family. Maybe you guys are planning on going to see Mission Impossible. Rob saw it yesterday. We'll get his review on Mission Impossible tomorrow. Tomorrow, Vern will be on the show. Somebody else will be on the show. I can't remember who it's going to be, but somebody else will be on the show. I'm pretty sure of it. I had a lot of fun today. Hopefully you guys had a lot of fun today. I'll catch up with you guys tomorrow. Take care of yourself, Mr. Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.